Hi, my name is Ann Cannamine. I'm here for Candidates Corner with Jane Dietz, who is running for State Senate from District 9. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Ann. It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
I'd like to start with a question about your background. Could you give us a little bit of information about your background in education and your most important positions that you've held?
Well, sure. But first I want to say that my name is Jean Dietz, and Dietz rhymes with teach, and it's spelled like diet school. Well, I grew up in Ohio, and my dad was a good Republican. He believed in good roads, good schools, and good government. He believed in taking care of the next generation. That really was the most important thing to him. But he was also an entrepreneur, so it's not surprising that I became one. In fact, I grew up thinking that everybody worked 6.5 days a week, 10 hours a day. So my husband Bill and I moved to the district 32 years ago to start our family. But we found that it was also a good place to start a business. So we, whether I was on the Ohio prairie or looking out my back window in New Hampshire at Mount Monadnock, I've always been a person who's looking at the future, looking at the horizon, looking at the distance. So that's probably why I was, to my knowledge, the first person in the world to start an e-commerce market research service that looked at internet businesses. My second business, it's why I decided to convince my husband, Bill, that we should start a mobile robots company back in 1995. We built up that company so that we were the leading provider of mobile robots to universities and researchers around the world. And in fact, Microsoft chose our platform to roll out its Robotic Studio software to colleges and universities. We sold that company in 2010, and then I decided it was time to give back. I went to Harvard Kennedy on a fellowship and studied government. So even though our company is still going on in Amherst, I went back to Peterborough and started helping them with economic development to revive the economy after the recession and to help bring more young people back into the town. But I soon discovered that this wasn't enough. I had won elections for school board and for the ZBA in Peterborough. But I found that I was going to have to do a little bit more if I really wanted to change the economic situation in town. But meanwhile, my husband Bill and I had two children, now grown, Eva and Ethan. When they were little, I helped out at their Sunday school, their regular schools, and I helped coach my son's Special Olympics team, which is the Monadnock Valley Patriots. And my website is jeandietz.org. You can find out more about me there.
What factors led to your decision to run for the Senate seat? You alluded to them generally, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
Well, so when we first moved to Peterborough, the Byte building was full to the brim, Byte magazine. But when I came back after Harvard, it was 75% empty. And so I felt like, gosh. And the other buildings in town were the same way. Mm-hmm. So we really needed to revive the vibrancy that we had when we first moved there. So I started helping them. But as I say, we found out that it wasn't all local at all. Many of the problems were at the state level. And the problem is, you know, Andy Sanborn and his colleagues, he's failed to create opportunity for our young people, so they're leaving. He's failed to let hardworking people stay in their homes after retirement because property taxes have become so high because of the downshifting. He's failed to maintain our roads and bridges. And he's failed to provide adequate broadband in rural areas, and now they're talking about defunding Medicaid and Planned Parenthood. They're talking about cutting educators and state employees' pensions still further. And they're now even talking about destroying the public school system. You know, enough. We really can't have this. You know, we have to do something about it. And I felt that I was a person who could make it happen. Because I think in order to stop someone as strong a candidate as Andy Sanborn has been with an incumbency, we have to go door to door, house to house. My campaign manager and I have already hit the doors of 1,300 voters, and we'll be going to thousands more with volunteers. And it's this kind of effort that I think is needed if you're going to unseat Andy Sanborn. In addition, I feel that being able to speak in the language of business and to talk in fiscal terms, as well as to be able to talk to values voters, helps me to span a broader connection with more voters than someone who doesn't have my strength in the business community.
Mm-hmm. What issues are most important to you in terms of legislative and budgetary priorities, and which of those do you intend to focus on if elected?
Well, I really thank you for including the word budgetary in your question, because most people don't think about the fact that your legislators are the people who create your budget and who set your priorities. And we have been budgeting without anyone from the business community in there who truly understands budgets and who can speak to the economic decisions that we're making with our budgets. I think that we need at least some business people and hopefully a tech entrepreneur like myself, who's working with 21st century global export businesses in order to understand how to create the innovation and so forth that really makes the economy go. So my feeling is that you start with the economy. The economy is like the water. You turn on the fountain, and then you can grow your programs and your education and your social services. But without water, without money, you can't do any priorities at all. So I feel that we need to focus on innovation and research, which will make our products more competitive globally and bring money into the state. It will also bring young people into the state because they love the exciting jobs. Like my mobile robots company, people love working for us. And this is the kind of opportunities that young people are looking for. So that will be a priority for me. Secondly, my slogan is Smart with Heart. We want a vision for New Hampshire that's smart with heart. An example of what that means, it means that what your policy is makes sense to your head, but also makes sense, it feels right in your heart. Mm-hmm. And when you've got those two aligned, then you know you're on target. So a great example of that is Medicaid expansion. So Medicaid expansion brings in hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government that we paid to them in taxes. It brings it back into the state. Okay? So accepting that is smart, right? Well, it also takes care of 48,000 people. That's the heart. So that decision, smart with heart. But Andy Sanborn voted against it. How can you vote against a decision that's both smart and right for your heart? So I feel that we need to support, to look at decisions in that way and to say, do they make sense in our heads and do they feel right in our hearts? So another example of a policy that's very important and will put people to work and will also enable us to fund our social programs is infrastructure development. Okay, we need to leave our children with the same quality of roads and bridges that our parents left to us. I mean, it is absolutely shameful that we should let them deteriorate and not take care of them. I mean, think how much our parents sacrificed to give us, you know, colleges, affordable colleges, and roads and bridges and so forth. It's shameful that we should even think of letting them deteriorate and not taking care of them for our children and our grandchildren. And in addition, we need to take care of the infrastructure of the future, which is broadband. Now, a lot of our state has very good broadband, but there are many areas, rural areas, that are not adequately covered. And without adequate coverage, their economies are lost. They will become ever more destitute if they are not connected to the global economy. So those are priorities for me.
You're listening to Gene Deitch, Democratic candidate for state senate on Candidates Corner on Bedford 105.1.
Well, speaking of another issue that has been much in the news lately, the opioid crisis. It appears to be increasing and not abating. What policies would you seek to implement that would address the issue on a state level?
Well, I've talked with a lot of different people as we've gone door to door. I have met former addicts. I have met families of people who are suffering. I have met counselors, healthcare professionals, and policemen, all who are dealing with this crisis. What the healthcare professionals and policemen are telling me, the people who work in the emergency rooms and the people who work in the shelters, is they cannot be the go-to place for care of drug users. They have full-time jobs already, and we need to look elsewhere. We need to create systems that will care for people who suffer from these problems. So we need facilities, indeed, but facilities are not the answer. The answer is what they do in Eastern Europe is they help these people find jobs. They give them a reason to get up in the morning. It can be a job. It can also be taking care of a child. There's an organization in Keene called Impact Monadnock, and they have been working with mothers. Often users, female users, become pregnant. And their children, of course, are greatly at risk. So Impact Monadnock visits mothers, and it works with them to show them how their care and their attention and their interactions with their child makes a huge difference. And they track the child, and they show normal development, and they show the brain scans of children who have parental fostering and those who don't bond with their parent. And the brain scans are dramatically different. So this kind of a program can give people a reason to get up in the morning and give them a reason to not, to do something other than take drugs. In addition, I think that we have to try to help our young children avoid. Prevention is much better than cure, right? And mm-hmm. So if we can prevent opioid use by having so many much more fun things to do for children and having more opportunities because we have an exciting 21st century economy with all these robot jobs and new sorts of medical apparatus and opportunities in bioengineering and electronics. These kinds of opportunities will keep children interested in life as opposed to alternatives such as opioids.
Well, it's a complex problem because it affects health, it affects law enforcement in terms of increased crime rates, it affects welfare of children and mothers as well as other users, but I also sense that it has an economic impact. And
absolutely.
How would you address that?
Absolutely. Well, the economic impact, of course, is something that we have too few people in the workforce. Mm-hmm. We have more jobs than we have people. And there are a lot of reasons for that, which we may get into with later questions. But its economic impact is the fact that employers can't find enough reliable employees.
Is that because the employees don't exist? Or do they need training? or do we need to encourage them to move to New Hampshire from other states?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yes. Yes. We are putting one of the things that I'm working on with the Peterborough Economic Development Authority was to try to bring a college into town. And we've gone through several, and we have one very good opportunity. It appears that Nashua Community College will be opening a site in Peterborough in fall of 2017.
So if you can't find the talent, you need to grow it.
We need
correct?
To grow it, and we need to make college affordable, and this helps because students will be able to take courses from the high school in the college, which will transfer without their ever having to pay for the credits. So and this college will have affiliations with employers in the region, so students will go directly from college into a job.
That sounds like a perfect example of your smart with heart.
Exactly.
Working together.
Yeah.
Another issue that has been much in the news is the PFOA contamination of wells in New Hampshire. Contamination creates environmental problems, health problems, as well as budgetary concerns as the problem seems to increase in scope. What are your suggestions as far as how to address those problems?
Well, I think that we have a responsibility to minimize the health problems first. So I think that we have to provide filtration for the affected parties. And the responsible parties, the ones who caused the pollution, will have to pay for it. I think that longer term, beyond this issue, we need to look at our regulations and consider what are appropriate levels of common sense approaches to protecting our environment and ourselves. So I think that, for instance, Andy Samborn voted to drop our ban on radioactive waste storage in the state. I would reinstate that ban.
You're listening to Gene Deitch, Democratic candidate for State Senate on Candidate's Corner on Bedford 105.1.
I believe that part of the issue that you're alluding to is screening certain types of industry that might be more likely to add unwanted chemicals to the waste stream. Are you speaking of that in a regulatory manner, or what other types of screening would you advocate?
No, we would not screen companies. No, we would set levels, permitted levels, as is done now.
Of certain chemicals.
Of certain chemicals, yes, set permitted levels. So we just need to keep our levels up to date and make sure that we can look at the states around us who have been quite good at this sort of thing, Vermont, for instance, and if our requirements are much lower than states next to us, we might want to ask ourselves why that is and whether or not that's appropriate.
I also noticed that
I do want to add that
I
am not for over-regulation. I strongly believe that over-regulation can impair businesses. And one of the advantages of doing business in New Hampshire is that we try very hard not to over-regulate.
I sense that some of the testing was done after the migration of some of the chemicals came to light.
Right.
Do you feel that there's more of a need to do proactive testing to perhaps prevent the migration into underground aquifers and wells?
I think the issue was that there was a lack of understanding that this was actually an airborne chemical at the meeting that I was at Bedford High School. they described the fact that it had gone much farther than they had expected because it actually traveled through the air, and they had thought that their stacks were high enough that it wouldn't. But again, my understanding is that Vermont required scrubbers, and so that the problem would not have been as bad if we had had similar regulations here. That's my understanding of it. That's a good point.
New Hampshire state colleges have some of the highest tuition rates in the country. And as a result, some of our students are facing high levels of personal debt. What steps would you propose to try to keep the cost of in-state tuition more moderate and prevent that debt load from happening?
Well, we need to look at various options. Many colleges support their in-state tuition with international students. They also have matching grants for research that attract many students. They have sports teams that support their other programs. And of course, alumni donations. If we have fewer alumni, we're going to have fewer alumni donations, and that's that sort of looking at both sides of an issue that we need to do.
Good point.
We have a tendency in New Hampshire to only look at the costs and not look at the impact on the benefits. We don't look at the whole picture. We just say, oh, we're saving $10 here, ignoring the fact that it's costing us $100 over here. So I think that we've got to look at all those options. But in addition, that all has to do with looking at the bottom line. You know, if our businesses can't find workers because we don't have enough young people, we're not saving money. And if our property taxes rise because we don't have enough business revenue to provide revenues to the state, then we're not saving money, are we? And so if the kids can't afford a college education to achieve their dreams, and then we're not saving money. So I think we need to pay more attention to the bottom line than to one little specific cost.
I think that's a good point. And that segues into my next question, which was, as one of the oldest states in the country, how do we retain our young people, and how do we encourage young people to come to New Hampshire and live here, since it's such a great place?
Well, we've been working a lot on that in Peterborough Economic Development Authority. We've developed a website that's called Why Move to Peterborough? And it has a lot of reason. It has case studies of people who've moved here and have found it a wonderful way of life, including myself, our story of my family. But we've had three babies on my street in the last 3 months, so I think we're being pretty successful. But we're using a mixture of web and social media to convey the wonders of the quality of life here, which is amazing, and the community warmth and support that we have in our little towns here, and the fun of being involved with people that we have in New Hampshire, the outdoor sports and athletics and the lakes and the beauty. You know, there's so much here. So we've been attracting telecommuters, and we have been attracting home workers, people who are independent of location. But again, that requires the broadband, which is why I have to say that, you know, there's a town in our district, Greenfield, for instance, that has no high-speed broadband, and the people there are having trouble selling their houses. It's hard to run a business there. If we do not extend broadband to them, they are going to fall behind, and we're going to end up spending a lot of money to support anyone who's left there. And so why don't we put that money into infrastructure? That's the kind of infrastructure that will bring young people here and make it an exciting and fun place to work, because there'll be cool things going on and innovation happening.
Another issue that affects our future is energy. How would you encourage lower-cost energy development in New Hampshire?
Well, we need to encourage alternative energy adoption and improvements. We need to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. And we need to make sure we have enough variety that we can cover our needs in spikes during peak periods. So with those three things in mind, well, in Peterborough, I'm proud to say that we have the largest solar facility in the state. We, in fact, our town is running 100% on renewable fuels. So we're quite proud of that accomplishment. I will encourage both on- and off-grid solutions. So as battery storage increases and improves, there will be more off-grid people who are independent. But the on-grid solutions are very, very important as well. And we've raised our cap, and we'll continue to have to raise it. However, we'll also have to provide distributors with some kind of compensation for what they're doing in maintaining distribution channels. What we need to do with Northern Pass, we need to look at that project. I like to think of the way Ben Franklin would look at it, okay? Ben Franklin used to create a column and tally up, and he'd put all the benefits and all the deficits on each side, and then he would mark them off until he figured out which was the right decision. And I think that's what we do with Northern Pass. When they get to the point that there are more benefits than deficits, then we'll vote for it.
And I think that's a good way to wind up our time together. Many thanks to our candidate, Gene Dietz. And I'd like to please remind those of the New Hampshire state primaries that are on September 13th, please vote. And don't forget to vote in the general election, which is November 8th this year. I'd like to allow Gene to address the audience.
Well, I'm going to ask you to vote for me because I believe that it's going to take the same kind of hard work that I used to build three startups in order to win this election. This is a very, very difficult seat to change. Yet we need it dramatically because the Senate is at a point where moderates have retired, and we either need to, it's either going to go more extremely to the right, or it's going to become Democratic. And I hope that you will vote for me. On September 13, vote for Gene. Thank you very much.
Thank you.